David here. Here's today's London Infusion. I'm not doing this from home. I'm out and about in London, well, in Hampstead. I'm just a stone's throw away from Hampstead Heath. And I'm standing in front of a fountain cum monument, which marks the site of the Chalybeate Well, and thus the spa that really put Hampstead on the map. In the early 18th century. And the inscription reads, "To the memory of the Honorable Susanna Noel, who with her son Baptist, 3rd Earl of Gainsborough, gave this well, together with 6 acres of land, to the use and benefit of the poor of Hampstead, 20th of December, 1698. And then it reads, "Drink, traveler, and with strength renewed, let a kind thought be given to her who has thy thirst subdued. Then render thanks to heaven." Now, I said the spa was the making of Hampstead. In the end, though, it proved they had to close it down. Hampstead's great advantage, in the end, proved to be its great disadvantage. Its great advantage was that it was only four and a half miles from London. And remember that traveling conditions in the late 17th, early 18th century were dire. The Romans traveled far more efficiently and in far greater comfort than the late Stuarts did 1,500 years later. So, you know, going all the way to Bath on those terrible roads at that time, you know, if you were 75 years old and had a gouty leg, that was agony. So here's Hampstead. It's only four and a half miles from a market of 400,000 people. That was a huge advantage. But it proved to be a disadvantage because what happened was the London criminal fraternity, pickpockets, thieves, gamblers, prostitutes, they looked up here and they saw that Hampstead was full of well-heeled, unwell people, and they came up here and began to prey on them. In fact, when John Gay was getting ready to write The Beggar's Opera, which is about the London criminal fraternity, he came to the Hampstead Spa, notebook and pencil in hand, to get ideas and indeed to get names for characters like Captain Macheath. So the lease came up for renewal in 1721. Things were just completely out of hand, and the authorities refused to renew the lease. And that put paid to Hampstead as a spa town. So today, all we've got to remind us of that heyday is this great monument cum fountain labeled Chalybeate Well. And again, some of the names. Well Walk, Well Road, Flask Walk, Well Passage, etc. But, you know, standing where I'm standing, as I said, I'm just a stone's throw away from Hampstead Heath, not far at all, 5 minute walk maximum, from the village within a village, the Vale of Health. This is a little bit, for someone of my bent, someone interested especially in matters literary, this is like being at the center of a big radar screen, a literary and artistic radar screen. And there's just blip after blip after blip on this screen. The Vale of Health, I mentioned that. Tagore wrote the lyrics to the Indian National Anthem. You can see his house. It's got a blue plaque. The first person from the Indian subcontinent to be awarded the Nobel Prize for Literature. He also wrote what I regard as the single most beautiful line in all of lyric poetry. It's a poem of his about the Taj Mahal. Now remember, the Taj Mahal was built by a grieving husband, a widower. And Tagore's got this line. He says of the Taj Mahal, "It's a teardrop on the cheek of time." just around the corner from the Tagore House. It was a house that D.H. Lawrence was in for a time. Leigh Hunt, there's a plaque on a house marking his stay, not in that house, in the previous house. He was a minor poet, a crusading journalist, but chiefly important for discovering and nurturing talent. And Leigh Hunt discovered and nurtured a huge talent, John Keats. Keats spent the so-called great year, September 1818, the next 12 months, in Hampstead, turning out 8 or 10 of the greatest poems in the language. Hunt introduced Keats and Shelley. I mean, when you walk across that bit of the heath that I walk across, we're walking where those three walked. But now, down here by the Collegiate Well, just a short stone's throw from where I'm standing is the Wells Tavern. And the next house down stands, there was on that site, the house that the Keatses first stayed in when they came to Hampstead in 1816. This, of course, before they moved to what is now called Keats House. And practically across the way from me is number 40. It's blue plaque. Constable. Constable wrote a letter to a friend. He said, "This little house is to my wife's heart's content." He said, "Our little drawing room commands a view unsurpassed in Europe from Gravesend to Westminster Abbey." At 32, D.H. Lawrence, again, he was restless and always on the move, and he wasn't particularly welcome in this country. He moved up here from Cornwall. They had a really bad time there. It was during World War I, and of course he had a German wife. He, coming to Hampstead, was in search of you know, more tolerant setting, as it were. I mentioned when I read the little inscription, the third Earl of Gainsborough. Well, just directly across the way from me is Gainsborough Gardens. It's a little private road with the most gorgeous and large garden in the middle of it. But as you walk around it, you can go either to the left or the right, but to the right, John le Carré, one of my favorite 20th century novelists. And then if we head back up Well Road, we come to Gardner House. Kingsley Amis was living in Gardner House. If from here I walk up Well Passage, on the left-hand side, Daphne du Maurier's father, Gerald du Maurier, you know, the part that made him famous? He created the role of Captain Hook in Peter Pan, the first ever Captain Hook. Well, the list just goes on and on. Hampstead is special in every way, not least biographically. Okay, that's enough for today.